This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. بعد. Respected brothers and no sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, all praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him for granting us this unique opportunity to be here at this retreat, weekend retreat. I would like to personally thank the Sufa Institute for organizing this retreat, inviting all of you and giving me also the opportunity to be with you and spend some time, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their efforts, reward all of them and you and all of us, inshallah, for attending and taking some time out. Take a break, take time out. We need to take time out from our busy schedules and, you know, busy lifestyle to really contemplate and maybe think about and focus on our life. Life is so fast, so busy. Some of the things I'm going to talk about will be regarding this particular aspect. Our lives are so busy. From morning to night, week to week, month, year, it's just passing by us. We are in 2016. Sometimes we think, what is it, 17, is it 16, or is it 15, or what is it? We're not confused about the days or the dates anymore, we're more confused about the years. It's like passing by, and it's actually one of the signs of Qiyamah. يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before the time final hour comes, time will fly, will pass by you. And, you know, people past 7, 8, 10 years, people were in their 20s, have become in their 30s, early 30s, late 30s now, maybe 40s, 50s, and people don't even get, you know, normally if you get the average amount of time that Allah gives, average 60, 65, people pass away now normally, mid-60s. If you're 40, you've got another 20 years to live. Do we give all our effort and life and time from morning to night for the next 15 years? Or do we think about the eternal life of million and billion and trillion and beyond, an eternal life? It's really, you know, when people have problems, I tell them, sometimes people say, oh, this problem and that problem. Okay, take the means, but you know what, brother, sister, it's like, you, how are you going to live? Another 20 years? Why are you so worried about the next 15, 20 years of your life? You're already 50, 40. If you're 40, you've got 20 years. And that's if we receive the average lifespan. Now it's becoming so common. Every other day we hear someone passing away in a young age. Just in the last month in my city of Leicester, we've had death of a brother who was 18 years old. Nothing wrong. This is just within the last 3 weeks. Nothing wrong with him. Never been to, well, may have been to the doctor, but very rarely been to the doctor. Not even, his father said, not even for a headache. Just completely normal, healthy brother, 18 years old, came back from college, just collapsed. They took him to the hospital and he passed away. A few days ago, there was a 10-year-old girl, nothing wrong, nothing whatsoever. She just said, came back from school, feeling a bit, you know, like hot and, you know, dizzy, passed away. There was a brother, 36, married with a couple of children, nothing wrong, passed away. There was another brother in his 40s, he passed away. This is just in the last 2-3 weeks, 30, 40, 10, 18. So we really need to take time out and focus on what we are really doing, inshallah. And this opportunities like this are extremely important for us, inshallah. Now my session, is about dhikr and fikr, and not liquor. Dhikr and fikr. This is actually very important, and I want to talk about some really important things. I'm sure you may have heard of some of the things, maybe some things you may have not heard of, but this is a very important discussion. If you look at page 38, that's where we are, inshallah. Remembrance of Allah, dhikr, and contemplation known as fikr. It's not really dhikr, it's actually dhikr in Arabic. Dhikr and fikr. Or tafakkur. The main verse of the Quran that this particular discussion is based on is the verse, the translation of which we have before us, Surah Al-Imran, verses 190 and 191. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Amazing verse. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would recite this verse sometimes in the middle of the night. He would point his towards the heavens, towards the sky, and he would recite this. And he would wake up for qiyam al-layl and tahajjud, salah. Surely, in the creation of the heavens and earth, in the creation of everything, the whole cosmos system, in the creation of Mars and Jupiter, and what else? Pluto, and all the different planets and the stars and the galaxies, the creation of the earth and the heavens, everything. If we ponder and think, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and in the alternation of the night and the day comes, ends, and the night appears, the night ends, and the day comes back. This is something to think about. Like we, you know, this is the issue that we are, our lives are so fast. There are things happening before us, but we don't think or reflect. Like just looking at this, the way the sun is descending, the day is coming to an end, the night is coming. Allah is saying, "Fi ikhtilaf al-layl," because we are so accustomed to some of these things, this is why we don't really take notice. If something happens, even if it's the greatest miracle, if it happens every day in front of us, it no longer remains important for us. So, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, Allah says, لَآيَاتِ, in there are signs for the people of wisdom. لَآيَاتِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You know, there are lots of verses that I'm going to talk about today. In there, Allah, when He ends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So many places in the Quran Allah talks about the people of tafakkur, the people who ponder, signs, people who ponder, signs for people of aqal, people of intelligence. Albab here is a plural of lub, which means the people of actual intelligence or wisdom. This is why Islam places a lot of importance and emphasis and significance on using something that Allah has given us in here. Because we don't use this, what's this in here? The aqal, the intellect, the reason, the intelligence, the brain. Because we don't use it, what happens? Lots of people talk about depression, mental health. One of the reasons is because we don't use this, use it in a positive way. This aqal Allah has given us, Islam gives us guidelines on utilizing the brain. If we don't use it, like anything, you have a car and it just sits there for 5 years, you've never driven it, you don't ever put the engine on, it gets rusty, engine things problem. Aql is the same. If we don't use our brain gets rusty. Brain gets rusty and we become less intelligent. The way to become intelligent is to use the brain. Think, ponder, not get depressed, ponder. Take time, you know, reflection. We're going to talk about this reflection. Sometimes, you know what, when you're driving a car, just you've parked outside your house, just look at the birds. Marvel at them. Amazingly, just last week I saw the way, subhanAllah, you know, a group of, you know, the way they were swerving and flying in the air, like literally about 300-400 birds together, and this way, and then away, and this way, and just there like 10 minutes, thinking about so many different things. The Quran says that you think that they are just swerving and swaying. The Quran says, no, these birds, they are making tasbih of Allah. وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ صَافَّات is a plural of that these birds, they make tasbih of Allah in saf, in rows. That's what they are doing. In the morning, when they wake up early, everywhere in the world, whether you are in England or America or Mecca or Medina or Japan or China or Uzbekistan or South Africa or Malawi or Sudan or Somalia or wherever you are, there is no bird that is a kafir. There's no disbelieving bird. Every bird makes tasbih of Allah. And not just bird, the Quran says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There's nothing that, except that it makes the tasbih of Allah. We think that the air, the wind, we think it's very windy. Allah's tasbih is being made. You know, when you go to the ocean, sometimes go to the beach and ocean, not just for a family, take your family, alhamdulillah. But we just go like, our life is so, you know, it's just so, what's that word I'm looking for? There's no deeper meaning to it. It's so artificial. It's all artificial. The waves that are moving, they are making the tasbih of Allah. Sit down and just reflect. For millions of years, the waves and the end of the ocean or the sea, what do you call them? The waves and maybe. Not surfing, but just the end of the ocean, when they come to the land, on the shore. But, you know, is there another word for that? When the waves are hitting like, whatever. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. That's also making tasbih of Allah. So I was saying, the time is short, but what I was saying, that so many places in the Quran, الآيات لقوم يتفكرون, الآيات لقوم يعقلون, signs for the people of aql, signs for the people who think. In this verse, Allah says, this is the verse, the basis, in the alternation of the day and night, there are signs for the people of wisdom. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, the people who are lub. Labib means an intelligent person. The person of intelligence, sign for him. The one who is not intelligent, the one who lives in this small artificial life like Egypt, for him is only my car, my job, my factory, my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my son, here, there, okay, job, tax office, this office, post office, bank, okay, just live. For that person, there's no science. He doesn't live in a spiritual way. Everything is just physical, artificial. 60 years, you just go fast, fast life, nothing. There's no deeper meaning to life. Allah says, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. This, there are signs for the people of Al-Bab. And then we ask Allah, Allah tells us, who are the people of Al-Bab? Straight away, next verse. The person of intelligence, the person of wisdom, the person of brain, the person of spirituality is not the one who thinks about just worldly aspects. It's the one, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides, meaning in every state, and ponder on the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O Lord, our Lord, you have not created all of this in vain. We proclaim your purity. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the punishment of fire. So this is the main verse. There's two things mentioned. Allah says, who are the people of aql? Who are the people of wisdom? Who are the people of intelligence? Those who, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ, those who remember Allah, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and then they ponder. They do dhikr and then they do fikr. You know, fikr, sometimes people misunderstand the word fikr. Lots of people are from the subcontinent background and they know Urdu, Punjabi, whatever. That's why they misunderstand. They're, because it's a similar language and sometimes same word used in Arabic has a completely different meaning. Like other in Urdu means something else, in Arabic adab means something else. This is why lots of people make mistakes from the subcontinent, because the Urdu language is similar. Words are used, but in Arabic it's a different meaning. The word fikr in Urdu, for those who speak Urdu, means what? Worry. Concern. In Arabic, fikr doesn't mean that. That's why I put slash tafakkur. Fikr in Arabic, or another word, tafakkur, means reflecting, meditating, pondering, thinking. That's what tafakkur means. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. They do two things. And this is our responsibility. Every one of us, our responsibility is to do dhikr and tafakkur. Dhikr and fikr. This is what we have to do. This means, actually, this dhikr and fikr, we can express this in different ways. Some of the ulama, they've expressed it in this way, that look, dhikr is of two types. Dhikr lisani and dhikr qalbi. Dhikr lisani is dhikr of the tongue. Dhikr qalbi is the dhikr of the heart and the mind. Tafakkur means, you can say dhikr and fikr, or you can say this is dhikr lisani, verbal dhikr, and the other one is dhikr qalbi, heart and mind dhikr. Do you understand my point? First one is called dhikr, the second one is called fikr or tafakkur. Or you can say first one is dhikr lisani, and the second one is also tafakkur, is dhikr of the heart. Understood? Yes? First one is dhikr of the tongue, and the contemplation tafakkur is dhikr of the heart and the mind. Both are necessary. Now look, you know what? We don't sometimes really, you know, all these verses in the Quran that talk about dhikr. You know what? Normally, we are brought up with things. We just hear something and that's it. We hear, make dhikr of Allah. Suddenly, what comes to our mind? Make dhikr of Allah. Okay, let me take a look at dhikr of Allah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah. Yes, that is part of dhikr. You know, but if you look at all these verses in the Quran, the literal meaning of dhikr, what is the literal meaning of dhikr? Dhikr means to remember. If I say to you, brother, remember your brother. If I say to you, do you have a brother? If I say to you, remember your brother. Udhkur akhaka. Remember your brother. What will you be doing? My brother, 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 my brother. What will you be doing? Remember. Okay, I remember. Yeah, now. It, literally, the translation of the verses of the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullah. Oh, you believe, remember Allah. Remember with the brain. Alladhina yadhkurun Allah. Those who think about Allah, remember Allah. Dhikr means to remember. That's one meaning. Also, another translation could be mention in Arabic. Udhkur akhaka. Mention your brother. Now, what does that mean? I say to you, mention your brother. So what will you say to me? You'll say his name, won't you? I say, mention your brother. So, okay, my brother, what's his name? Amr. So you'd say, you want me to mention my brother? I say, yeah, mention your brother. Amr. All the verses of the Quran can be interpreted in both ways. All the verses. And most of the verses are just like, remember Allah. Mention Allah and remember Allah. Someone can say, I'll take the mention. Someone can say, I can take the meaning, remember Allah. However, there are few, I don't know how many, but few, but one hadith which is coming, which is in mind, that actually specifically, and this is more in the hadith, that actually specifically talk about mention with the tongue. Like a companion came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him for some advice. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَن يَكُونَ لِسَانُكَ رَفْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Your tongue should be moist with the mention of Allah. You can't say your tongue should be moist with the remember, because that's remember is with the mind and the heart. So that talks about the tongue. And there are other, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Tamla'ani ma fi samawati wal ard, saying it verbally. So both are important. What's happened is that we find some people who actually give just importance to just the mind and the thought. Like, you know what, it's all about thinking. Like, I don't need to say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. No, the real purpose is actually have a connection and think about Allah. I think, even salah is for that. Aqimis salata li dhikri. Establish prayer to remember me. Some people actually said, well, salah is to remember Allah, so that means what? I'm just going to remember Allah. I've attained my objective, so I don't need to offer salah. No. Salah is also, it's a means, but you can't leave the means. So that's one extreme that some people, I just think with my mind. And there are others, like many of us, we are just brought up with this understanding that dhikr is only La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, La ilaha illallah, Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. With no thought, no mind, no focus, you don't know, you know, you're half eating food or you're talking to somebody, Allah, 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 yeah, 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 brother, Allah, 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 yeah, yeah, what's going on, yeah, and someone's talking to you, Allah, Allah, Allah. There's no remember, it's only with the tongue. And that's another extreme. In this ayah, Allah said, the people of Aql are who? Those who remember Allah, yadhkuruna wa yatafakkaruna. Now, because He mentioned these two things separately, are you with me? Allah mentioned, remember and tafakkur, which is of the mind, separately. This gives us this understanding that the first remembrance was referring to question. I need to know that you are understanding. Allah said, Alladhina, you are people of intelligence. The Quran is talking to people of intelligence. We need to become people of intelligence, brothers. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah. Those who remember. I said there were two meanings of remembering Allah, with the mind and with the tongue. But in this verse, when Allah is saying those who remember Allah and then they contemplate with their mind and the heart. So the first remembrance is referring to what? The tongue. Because you can't say two times. Those remember with the mind and those who ponder. So both are mentioned. And this is why there's two types of dhikr. Dhikr lisani, dhikr qalbi, like I already explained. And Allah mentioned remembrance with the tongue, or mentioned with the tongue first, and then the remembrance with the mind and the heart, tafakkur, second. Because the first is the means to the second. This is what, look, remembrance with the tongue, dhikr lisani, is a means to contemplation, fikr, or remembrance of the heart, dhikr qalbi. Together they complete the light of faith. If you want to complete the light of iman, the nur of iman, the light of faith, these two things are necessary. Dhikr and fikr, or dhikr lisani and dhikr qalbi, both are necessary. In other words, the basic level is to remember verbally. This is the first level, basic level. Ultimate level is to keep one's heart focused on Allah at all times. Allah mentioned first the verbal mention, because that is a means. That is what? A stairway. It's a means, it's a ladder, it's a stepping stone. It's a dhari'ah, it's a wasila. To the ultimate dhikr, which is always thinking. This is actually very important. One of my teachers, Shaykh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafizahullah, he mentions this a lot. In the last few years, he's mentioned this more or less every talk of his, he mentions this. He talks about this a lot. He focuses on this a lot. He says that, look, we need to direct the flow of our thoughts towards Allah. This is what he talks about. We need to direct our thought, the flow of our thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this brain and aql of the human being Allah has given, it always thinks about something. Unless someone's insane. If someone's majnoon, then not. But as long as we are not majnoon, 24 hours, well, not when we're sleeping, maybe we're dreaming. But when we are awake, There is no human being that passes a time where he's not thinking about something. If you're talking to somebody, then you're thinking about what you're talking about. Right now you're listening to me, so you hopefully, inshallah, you are thinking about what I am saying. I am thinking about what I am saying. But if we're not talking, you're driving a car. Some people have accidents because they were thinking about something. Yeah? We're driving, we're walking, we're talking, before we sleep. Some people take them an hour to sleep. Yeah? It takes me a long time to sleep. 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I actually have asked the doctors as well why this happens. They give a few reasons. But some, it just takes a long time. You put your head, place it on the pillow. Jungle of thoughts. Every moment we are thinking about something. Majority, 80, 90% of our thoughts, if not 95% of the thoughts, he says, are about dunya. We're thinking about our family. We're thinking about our life. We're thinking about car. We're thinking about exhaust. We're thinking about the MOT. We're thinking about the next car. We're thinking about WeBuyTheCar.com. We're thinking about Google. We're thinking about eBay. We're thinking about post office. We're thinking about the bank. What about that account? This job, this career, tax credit office tomorrow. I need to, go and I need to contact the Inland Revenue or about tax, about this, or this brother said this, or this sister, or this marriage, or this. It's all about the dunya. He says that this only comes with mashq, with training, that we need to. We're thinking about 65, like I said in the beginning, years of life. We need to change the direction, the flow of our thoughts towards Allah, towards Akhirah, towards Deen, towards standing before Allah. I'm going to come to that. Think about, look, you know, when you're driving, inshallah, imagine one day we'll be in Jannah. Think positively. Inshallah, we'll be in Jannah. We'll be standing before Allah. Allah says in the Quran that, you know, what the hadith says will be, there'll be the beatific vision of Allah. How will that vision take place? Imagine seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah I'll be in Jannah with my family sitting. Or think about Hisab, there'll be a day, you know, where everybody will go to all the prophets, they'll come to Adam, they'll come to Musa, they'll come to Isa, and they will all say, you know, nafsi, nafsi, like to hasten the day of reckoning. And they will all go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, ana laha, yes, yes, I am for it. And then he will ask Allah, imagine I'll be there, inshallah I'll be in Jannah. Hopefully, inshallah, I will not be in Jahannam. Thinking about, you know, more thought about the Akhirah. Thinking about the Qudra, power of Allah, I'm coming to that. About Hisab, about how I am, what are my deeds. Before going to sleep, when we put the head on the pillow, we're thinking about all the jungle of thoughts. What did I do today? I woke up today. Did I use my tongue properly? Did I swear at somebody? Did I slander? Did I shout at my wife? If I did shout at my wife, Allah will question me. Did I scream? Did I get angry on my children for no reason? Did I do this? Did I drive a car in a haram way? Was I, you know, like being aggressive on the motorway? Was I being aggressive to the person in the bank? Did I pray my salah properly? Was I in khushu' and khudu' in prayer? Make muhasabah. This is all tafakkur. This is dhikr. This is not just love. Just take, you know, Allah, 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 the end of story. And now, you know what, on the road, and like, act like whatever you want to act like. That's not dhikr. That's not dhikr. Dhikr is a comprehensive way of thinking and being connected to God Almighty. That's dhikr qalbi. But we're coming to that. Look, there's just some verses, and I'm going to quickly mention these verses, and we'll get to that. So dhikr of the tongue. So I mentioned two types of dhikr. Yeah? Dhikr of the tongue. That's a means to the dhikr of the heart. Dhikr qalbi is a means to the dhikr lisani. Dhikr lisani, dhikr of the tongue, is a means to dhikr qalbi, dhikr of the heart. Dhikr qalbi is also called what? Again? Tafakkur or fikr. Okay? So dhikr of the tongue, what is dhikr of the tongue? Any utterance of glorification. Tasbih. That's also dhikr. Tasbih. What's this? This is, by the way, not mine, okay? I don't have a problem with it, you know, but I don't keep one. So this is just yours here, just for the records. What's this? What's this? It's another tasbih, brothers. You don't call this tasbih. Tasbih is subhanallah. This is called a musabbiha, or it's called a mudhakkira, if you want to give it a name. It's not tasbih. Tasbih is the actual utterance of subhanallah. That's tasbih. This is mudhakkira. A reminder. There was one sheikh who said that once I met an Arab brother, and this is not specific to Arabic or anybody, but somebody who had some issues with this. So the sheikh had this in his hand, he keeps one in his hand. So he said to him, he said, what's this? So the sheikh said, this is innaha mudhakkira. He said, ishhar, what's this? Innaha mudhakkira. It's a reminder. He said, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam use one? You know the common question, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam use one that you're using this? So the Shaykh said, did he ever forget that he needed to be reminded? Did he ever forget that he needed a reminder? He was 24 hours concentrated on Allah. It's for people like us, we need something to remember. If not this, then keep this. Okay? Nobody's saying this is Sunnah specifically. Even though there's books written on this, there's scholars, Imam Abdul Hayy al-Laknawi rahimahullah, wrote a whole book, Subhatul Adhkar, like all the evidences that, you know, Sahabis used pebbles, etc. So there's a whole discussion, you know, because some people call it a bid'ah. I mean, I personally don't use one, but it's not a bid'ah. But nobody's saying this, it could be, have kajus, dates, no problem, tamar. So don't just eat them, yeah. Okay, subhanAllah, it's just remembrance. It's not that this is specifically sunnah, it's anything. I have a lot of teasers if you want. And say, every time I say, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, there's 100 in here. SubhanAllah, 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 no problem. Okay? So anyway, tasbih means glorifying Allah, saying subhanAllah. That's a form of dhikr. There's numerous hadiths that talk about, you know, glorifying, subhan. You know what subhan means? Purifying Allah, glorifying Allah. Subhan actually means that we are attributing to Allah every form of perfection and purity and rejecting or removing from Allah any attribute of imperfection. Subhan. Allah is pure, absolutely pure. You need to study Aqeedah to understand this. Allah is absolutely pure. In Allah, طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبٌ. That's why, you know, recommended in the Sunnah that when we ascend, we should say Allahu Akbar. And when we descend, we should say what? SubhanAllah. Reason is when we ascend, we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than any ascension. No matter how far and above we go, Allah is greater. Not Allah is physically above that, like we're on the fourth floor, so Allah is in the fifth floor, a bit. No. Allah is above in rank and status than any lofty position we can be in. And when we're descending, subhanAllah, because descending is like lowly things. Allah is pure from anything lowly. This is, we need to, you know, every dhikr, we need to keep the mind, what we're reading, why we're reading, the thought has to be there. That's coming as well. So, dhikr, any utterance of glorification, subhanAllah, or praise, alhamdulillah, praising Allah, or exalting Allah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, such as saying, La ilaha illallah, Allah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, istighfar, astaghfirullah, and towards the end, maybe in the second session that I have, I'll talk about, you know, the prophetic, some du'as and istighfar. So, all of this is dhikr of the tongue. All of this is dhikr of the tongue. Okay? Numerous verses in the Quran. Now these verses, I've got dhikr in the Quran, some verses, hadith. I'm just going to quickly go through them because, you know, you could read them yourself. There's literally, the Quran is filled with verses emphasizing dhikr and giving us the importance, the ahmiyyah of dhikr and the benefits of dhikr. It's so many verses. You know, literally 30, 40 verses. So many verses in the Quran. Just a few here. Now these verses, like I said in the beginning, I have used them here in the context of dhikr of the tongue. Because there are specific verses for dhikr of the heart, tafakkur. But actually, these verses can also be used for dhikr of the heart. You remember, like I said, I gave the example of this brother here. The word dhikr means to remember, or it could mean to mention. Okay? So look at the first verse. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me, I will remember you. Or you can say, mention me, I will mention you. This verse, Allah says, remember me. It could be remembrance. If I, like I told his brother, I said, remember your brother. He didn't say, my brother. What did he? Yeah, I thought of it. Or the translation could be, mention me. Then you say, okay, my brother, verbally. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, next verse. I'm just going to quickly go through these verses. Surely Muslim men and Muslim women, this is a famous verse. Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minat wal-Qanitina wal-Qanitat wal-Sadiqina wal-Sadiqat wal-Sabirina wal-Sabirat wal-Khashi'ina wal-Khashi'at wal-Mutasaddiqina wal-Mutasaddiqat wal-Sa'imina wal-Sa'imat wal-Hafidhina furujahum wal-Hafidhat wal-Dhakirina Allah kathira wal-Dhakirat a'adda Allahu lahum maghfiratan wa ajran 'azima. Al-Ahzab 35. Allah talks about, you can read it yourself, Allah talks about, you know, gives all the qualities of Muslim men, Muslim women, believing men, believing women, devout men, devout women, truthful men, truthful women, all the way, you can read the list. Those who preserve and protect their private parts, men and women. And then at the end, those who remember Allah, those men who remember Allah and those women who remember Allah. The ulama, the commentators say, about this verse, that Allah mentioned remembering and dhikr right at the end. Reason is because dhikr helps attain all above qualities. If you want to fast, think of Allah. Think about Allah, you'll fast. You want to be devout in your prayer, mention Allah, think Allah, think of Allah, have a connection. If you think about Allah all the time, you'll be able to pray. You want to give in charity, think about Allah. It'll be easy to give in charity. You want to preserve your private parts, you don't want to commit zina and fornication of the mind and the heart, not look at things which are unhealthy and unlawful and filthy and dirty, or think about things which are filthy and dirty, fornication, zina. You want to avoid that? Remember Allah. If you think about Allah, you will stop sins. All the above qualities are gained by being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. Men whom no trade or sale makes neglectful of the remembrance of Allah, nor from establishing salah and paying zakat. This verse is saying that, look, we live in the dunya. Allah is not saying abandon the dunya. That's why Islam is not a religion of Rahbaniya. Rahbaniya was monasticism, which some of the Catholics had. That you have to give talaq and divorce to the world. You can't be married, you can't eat, like you can't eat pleasure, you can't eat Maltesers for them. Right? You can't enjoy, you can't be married. Islam is saying no. You live in the world, you have to get married, you have children, you have tijara, you have business. But your focus and importance over and above all of this should be akhirah, should be the eternal bliss and pleasure. The love of Allah, being connected, the mind has to be connected fully despite doing all of this. This ayah is saying, رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. There are people, the attributes of the good people. No trade or sale makes them neglectful of the remembrance of Allah. You're doing business, you're still thinking. There's examples. There was one sheikh from the subcontinent. They had gathered, they ate food and they had a gathering, they had like a majlis, you know, they don't normally waste the time, but this was, you know, there was a gathering of all shuyukh were there. And he mentioned in there that they were all sitting and eating, and he said that, you know, all these 2 hours they had a gathering, it was like a light-hearted gathering where they read poetry and things like that. He said that, you know, in the last 2 hours, my heart has not been heedless and ghafil from Allah for one moment. They are eating food, heart is connected with Allah. Business, trade, you're in your office, you're in your marketplace, you're at wherever you are, heart is connected to Allah. This is the ultimate level. The next verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, remember Allah abundantly. Now again, how can you translate this? Remember Allah abundantly, or mention Allah abundantly. Oh, mention, so mention with the tongue. Allah, 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 Allah. Just keep on mentioning, no problem. But also try to remember it. You see, the dhikr has to do with the mind. Not just dhikr, everything. Now, you know, when I come to tafakkur, I'll mention this. Next verse, I'm just going to quickly, because time is short and I need to talk about the other part. Those who believe and their hearts are peaceful with the remembrance of Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتُطْمَئِنُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تُطْمَئِنُوا الْقُلُوبُ. You must have heard of this verse. Yeah, everybody hears this verse. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, there's peace of the heart. It's not only in the dhikr with the tongue, peace of the heart. That's why one of the cures for mental health and depression is tafakkur, is dhikr of the heart. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I had a lecture in Dublin in university, and they were saying that there's a big issue here amongst university students of mental health, like major mental health problems. So my whole talk was Islam and mental health. And I did a whole talk on tafakkur. To cure depression and mental health is dhikr, but dhikr of the heart, which means tafakkur. Okay, which we're going to talk about, tafakkur. The next verse as well. Once the salah is over, disperse in the land and seek the grace of Allah and remember Allah abundantly. Like once you offer salah, then go. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ. This was Jum'ah salah. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Seek the provision, work, do your job. But remember Allah, make dhikr of Allah. Also after committing sins. Okay, I know there's lots of lines here to make notes and I'm not really explaining these verses. But there's lots of important things left, that's why. And those who, when they happen to commit a shameful act or wrongful, or wrong themselves. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ذَرَقُوا أَنفُسْهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. When we commit sins or something obscene, Quran says, after that, make tawbah, that's also dhikr. Tawbah is dhikr. Dhakarullah wa staghfaru li dhunubihim. Istighfar is dhikr. So a good time to make dhikr of Allah and remember Him and turn to Him and make tawbah and istighfar is after a sin is committed. As I said, numerous verses. Dhikr in the sunnah, look, there's a hadith here in Sahih Bukhari. The difference between the one who makes dhikr and the one who doesn't make dhikr is like the difference between the living and the dead. Because the dead, the mind does not work here. The tongue, the dead is... Is this working? No. Nothing's moving. The brain dead. You know, if you study, when you say dead, when, what's the actual definition of dead? Is it brain dead, or is it brain stem dead, or is it life support machine, can you remove a nut and all of this? Why? Because everything is to do with the brain. The brain is dead. When the person is dead, they actually define death medically when the brain is dead. Some say the full brain death, some say brain stem death. So when the brain is dead, you're dead. So the one who doesn't make dhikr of Allah, because he's not using the brain, is as though he's dead. He's not using the tongue, as though he's dead. So this is the difference. The next hadith, I've actually mentioned this already. This is specifically about dhikr of the... This is so far, there's a few others, but here so far, look, I could only, I put these together. There must be, I'm sure there must be some, you can ask me after the Yaqat and some others. There must be some other verses of the Quran and Hadith that talk about where specifically is dhikr of the tongue. But this is the only one here that I found in a very hasty few minutes. أَن يَكُونَ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned, do not let your tongue be moist. Make sure and ensure your tongue is moist with the mention of Allah. Now we're talking about mention with the tongue. Okay, so this is a specific, clear hadith. And then you've got another few more hadiths. There are no people who remember Allah without angels surrounding them, mercy covering them, tranquility descending on them, and Allah mentioning them to those who are with Him. This is like group dhikr. This is also dhikr. What we're doing right now is also dhikr. Mentioning Allah, we've mentioned Allah, we're talking about Allah, this is dhikr. Okay? Studying is dhikr. Reciting of the Quran is dhikr, which will come. Allah Almighty has angels who are seeking the gatherings of remembrance. This is a gathering of remembrance, inshallah, if we have ikhlas. And the angels, we need to believe in this. If it's a sound hadith, we should have full yaqeen and believe in it. Gatherings of remembrance, when they come, they encircle them. We can't see them, but they are encircling us, inshallah, because of the barakah of somebody here. We have to believe this focused mind. This is a real spiritual way of living, where we firmly believe. And then the last hadith, when you come upon the meadows of the garden, graze in them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, what are the meadows of the garden? He said, circles of remembrance, gatherings of remembrance, gathering of dhikr. So this could be dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the heart, and I've already talked a bit about it, which is called dhikr qalbi, or it's also called fikr, it's also called tafakkur, contemplation, pondering. What does that mean? I took briefly, but now I just want to explain this a bit more. Pondering over Allah. This is naturally, we need to do this, but seriously. As I said, our lives are too fast, too busy. Take time out for this. Pondering over Allah's attributes of perfection, beauty, power, and majesty. This is something constantly we need to do. This is part of dhikr. Ponder. Like I said, the verse is said, لآيات لقوم يتفكرون لآيات لقوم يعقلون لآيات لأولي الألباب. We need to be people of lub, people of aql, people of tafakkur, people of intelligence, people of wisdom, people of understanding and thought and reflection, meditation. Ponder over the attributes of perfection. The ulama say, لا تفكروا في ذات الله بل فكروا في آلاء الله. Don't ponder on the that. We can't understand the essence. If you study Aqeedah, we teach Aqeedah Tahawiyah for quite a few years, the final conclusion I tell the students is, the conclusion is that we can't understand Allah. The conclusion of studying Allah for the whole year is that we can't understand the essence of Allah. You have to, if you want to understand the reality, the essence of Allah, you have to be God yourself. To understand a businessman, you have to be a big businessman. You need to understand a doctor, you have to be a medic. Right? A non-medic can't understand a medic. You can't understand the essence, the dhat of Allah. That's what Godhood is. This is why we have been told to ponder and reflect on everything else from the qudra and the majesty power of Allah. Every place and everything before us is a sign. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٍ. Everything, there's a sign that there's only one Allah. This is not a hadith, it's a saying of one of the early scholars. Everything around us. I mean, that's why we come to places like this. Just, subhanAllah, amazing. Look at the tree, glass, ponder, reflect. Everything is a reflection. And thought, it takes you to Allah. Despite we not being able to see Allah in this life with these eyes, everything is a clear proof. And we need to think, ponder over the perfection. Look at, think about Allah's attributes. Study Aqeedah and learn the attributes of Allah. The Qudra of Allah, power of Allah, the beauty of Allah, the Jalal and Jamal of Allah, the Kamal of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such a vast subject. This is part of dhikr. The Quran gives us invitation to the tafakkur. So many places the Quran talks about tafakkur. So many places. So many times, we pass by them, we don't even think, like, this verse, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There's another verse, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءِ فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم brain, لقوم يعقلون. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day, and the ships and boats that are carrying things which benefit people on the sea and in the rain that Allah sends, and all the creatures, animals, subhanAllah, brothers, animals are an amazing way to do tafakkur of Allah. Like go to zoos and spend time, like just think and ponder, reflect, like look at amazing. Some creatures are, the way they are created, different creatures, just in the ocean, some marine, you know, in Barbados. If you go to Barbados, and many other places maybe, but I went one in Barbados, they go to right deep in a submarine and you look at some like amazing, amazing. There's thousands of creatures of Allah. Thousands. Each one of them makes you think about Allah. And Allah says the riyah, the wind, and everything, there's a sign. There's a sign. Allah says about أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you ever look at, inshallah I'm going to try to conclude in the next 10 minutes. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you look at the camels, how they've been created. Here we can't, can you? We can't look at camels. At that time, you know, they could only think about camels, that's why Allah said camels. But this could include any means of transport. Look at some cars, don't like, oh cars, I want that car. No, but just look at that. Here we can't look at camels. So Allah says, let's go and act upon, take your family and go to a place to act upon this verse. Quran says, Siru fil ard, travel in the earth, fanduru, look around you. This is tafakkur, this is dhikr of the heart. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Look at the heavens and the sky, how it's been raised. We can see that. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ. Look at the mountains. Travel, go to Scotland if you're not from Scotland. Somebody said there's quite a few people from Scotland. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you opportunity to look at some mountains. In England, we don't see mountains, it's sad. Like, we see hills. Go to places, like, don't go for a trip with your family, just beach and that's it, and worldly, you know, hotel and five-star hotel. No. If you want to make a journey, go to a journey where you see the, you reflect on the ni'mah and the majesty and the beauty of Allah. And act upon this, Allah will reward you. إِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. How the mountains have been installed. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Look at the earth, how it's been displayed or how it's been spread out for you. When you take water, think, where did this water come from? We just like, okay, alhamdulillah, a brother came in, gave me a bottle of water, I drank it, didn't even think, why did I drink this water, where did this come from? Islam is telling, no, before think, you should try to do mashq, for 2 years do this, then it will automatically, the water will come. How did this beautiful mineral water come to us? And the Quran tells us this, from the sea, it was taken into the clouds, and then Allah will reverse with, I don't have time, but Allah describes the whole process of how this water came to us. Then Allah sent it, it went on top of the mountains in a form of ice. And then slowly, slowly, you know, streams were sent. We just like, alhamdulillah. And I'm finished, where did this come from? The Quran tells us when you take milk, think before you drink this milk for one moment. Who sent this? How did it come? وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٌ. For you in the cattle, there's ibrah. There's a sign. نُسْقِيكُم مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصٍ سَائِغًا لِشَارِبِينَ. We give you that which is from the stomach of this cattle, milk. We give you. It comes through a process which is in between dirty red milk and the rafat. The, how do you translate rafat? Sorry? Yeah, the feces. Is that how you say it? Yeah? Yeah, the intestines, you know, the dirt, like the dirt and the filth of the stomach. مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمْ. From in between those two things, Allah gives you لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِشَارِبِ. Pure milk, white, not a dot of red in it, it just comes through it. How did it come? And it's pleasant to drink. It doesn't have the taste of the blood or the dirt of the stomach. It doesn't have the smell of it. It's pure. For one moment before drinking milk, think, tell your children, this is how you should treat your children, you know, upbringing your children. Like, you give them milk, you say, son, think, where did this come from? Make him do tafakkur. 5 years old, 6 years old, your daughters, your children. This is how you do tarbiyah of children. Everything they need to think about the qudra and the power of Allah. Contemplate standing before Allah. This is also tafakkur. I've already mentioned that, you know, standing before Allah. There'll be hisab, there'll be reckoning. Think about that all the time. How will akhirah be? There'll be hisab. You know, we will be given the book of records, will come, will I get in my right hand and the left? Have you thought about that? I'm sure you have. But we need to think about it more, like just that moment. It's coming. Oh, if it comes to the left, oh no. It's like, that's it, that's the greatest failure. Here you fail a test, MOT test, or your own test or whatever, driving lesson or whatever, driving test. That's not a big failure. Imagine the ultimate failure. The book of deeds. Right and the left. Please right. Left. Think, how will that be? This is the focal, this is the vicar of the heart. That's number two. Number three, contemplating and appreciating the countless bounties. This is very important. Thinking about the ni'mah and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a topic on its own. I need to do a lecture on this point three. Actually, this is one of the best ways to remove depression. What's the best way to remove depression? Thinking about and appreciating the countless ni'mah or the ni'am granted by Allah. Even non-Muslims, even psychiatrists, if someone's got mental health, depression, you know what they say? They make you count your blessings. There's a whole book written by a non-Muslim, count your blessings. That's the way to remove a person. Every ni'mah Allah has given us, you know, from the moment we are born, just being able to go to the toilet is a ni'mah. Just imagine, if that stayed in there, dead, problems. Every ni'mah, water, this. You know, the problem with us, myself included, is that we are immersed in millions and billions of ni'mah of Allah. One problem, we complain like the end of the world, and we've never seen any ni'mah. This is human being. One problem, one illness, even in illness. One of the scholars, actually, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Habibullah, he had a whole talk in taking out 8 positives from illness. We think about the one negative. There's 8 great ni'mah of Allah in being ill. This happens, 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 and this happens. Imagine. Somebody came to Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the subcontinent, and said it was extremely hot, like really hot. So he said, Shaykh, it's so hot, it's unbearable. He said, well, you remembered it's unbearably hot heat, unbearable heat, but you never looked at how much benefit there is in this heat, how many types of fruits are, how much, you know, how many jarathim, like germs are killed by this heat, how these certain types of fruit and dates are only created and born through this heat, how many people's whole ma'isha and the whole economy rests on this type of heat, and just remember, it's so hot, like it's struggling. There was one chef, he was extremely in fever, like deep fever, like life-threatening fever. Another chef went to visit him and said, Chef, how are you? He was, you know, when he went to visit him, he was sick. He said, how are you? How are things? He said, alhamdulillah, my eyes working perfectly. My ears, alhamdulillah, no problem. My mouth, I can talk, alhamdulillah. My hands, alhamdulillah. My feet, alhamdulillah. I can eat, stomach, alhamdulillah. He said about 20 times, alhamdulillah, thought about 20 different ni'mah of Allah. However, there's one, I've got this extreme fever. Make dua, that becomes alhamdulillah as well. First thought about 20 positive ni'mah of Allah. Mufti Shafi' rahimahullah, who is the father of Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he explains this in a beautiful way. He says, you know what we do? We look at our life in opposite way. We read our life story, we read our lives upside down. We need to read it the correct way. When we have a problem, we look at the problem but not the positives. He mentioned this after, and I will conclude inshallah, but he mentioned this when he was in his old age. He had a son, eldest son. He was 51 years old and he passed away. How old? 51. So naturally, family members are sad. People are crying. No problem crying, being sad, it's okay. But some people start saying, you know, like, he went so early. He wrote a letter to all his family members. And he said, look, you guys, think of this. There's one way of taking this complaining, he was so young, he was only 50, he passed away too early, he didn't even see the marriage of his children, you know, this, you can complain and just be depressed about 20 different things. That's looking at your life upside down. The right way of looking at this incident is, look, every person in this world did not have a God-driven right to come. Everyone has come for a short period of time. Everyone has to go. So death was written, whether 20 years down the line or today, when he was 65 or 70. He actually, his son actually went Hajj, and he just came back from Hajj. So he said, look at him positively. Allah gave him 51 years, he could have given him 20. Why don't you look, Allah has given him 51 beautiful years. He just went to perform Hajj. He came back pure from his sins. He actually had a son who was studying there in Medina. He said, look, he went and met his son there, spent 2 months with him. He also made khidmah. Got that. Came back, met everybody else, invited people. He looked at all the positives. And then Allah took him in such a nice way. What better way to go to Allah than this? This is reading our lives the right way, not the wrong way. When we sit down to eat together, like right now we'll be eating, right now, there's about 8-9 ni'mah of Allah just on one food table. The food is a ni'mah. The food could be very good food, but imagine you've got a stomach problem, can't eat. So another alhamdulillah for no stomach problem. Imagine you don't have a stomach, you're not hungry, that's another. Being hungry is another ni'mah. The food is there. Being hungry, if you're not hungry, you can't eat, so Allah gave hunger. Number three, you're hungry, but there's a problem in the stomach. Can't eat, no problem. Okay, no problem in the stomach, but you have like some things you can't, allergies, you can't eat, no allergy. Or you could have all of that, but imagine a sudden sad news comes from Allah forbid. Like someone's passed away or something, everything's there, but you can't eat, no sad news as well. And then everybody eating together in a nice way, that's another ni'mah. All of in one food invitation or one food table, there's about 7-8 ni'mah of Allah combined. Each one of them requires that we say Alhamdulillah. Each one. That's why some of the scholars say that, you know, drink water as cold as possible so that Alhamdulillah comes out properly. Alhamdulillah. You know, in iftar time when we eat, when we drink water, lots of people. That's why the dua is ذهبت الظما وابتلت العروق. Like you're so dry throat, drink water. Alhamdulillah. The veins have become wet. Like it's all Alhamdulillah. Drink as cold as possible so that every part of your body says Alhamdulillah. There's so much ni'mah for Allah. You know, this is why the hadith says, look at people below you in the dunya. There's millions of people who are disabled, there's millions of people who can't even drink. This water is the one. It's like the greatest ni'mah for some people. If you give them this, they haven't seen this in 5 years of their life. Like this is more than gold and silver for some people. We take it for granted. Everyone lives in their own small, you know, problem. This is what I said to some people. You know, hardship and problems in life, everybody has their own definition. My problem, definition of problem is like something. The one in the village in Somalia, his problem definition is that he hasn't eaten for 5 months. It's relative. Anyway, I'm concluding. Think about the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, also part of the tafakkur is considering one's obligations towards Allah and His creation. I've already talked about this. Also part of tafakkur, we make muhasabah, self-reckoning. What do I owe people? Am I fulfilling the rights of Allah? Am I fulfilling the rights of the creation? Two things are necessary to direct the flow of one's thoughts towards Allah. This tafakkur will happen because of two things. One is intense love for Allah Almighty. If we want to do this, we need to create intense love for Allah. You see, look, if you love someone, you will think about that person. If you love someone, you know, people who are engaged, they're always thinking about their wife. Yeah, but after 5 years, they're not. Well, after 5 months, they stop thinking. But before, at the time of engagement, it's always thinking. It's like it's new, isn't it? If we love Allah, then we'll always think about the khiyar, the thought, the brain, will always be with Allah. And this is like a circle. In order to create love, we need to think about the bounties, ni'mah of Allah. Tafakkur comes through love of Allah. And love of Allah comes through thinking about the ni'mah of Allah. We sit, wow, Allah gave this day to me, subhanAllah. Imagine somebody, you know, came, every day someone's giving you gifts. Every day someone, I come and give you £100. Every day I'm giving you fruits. Every day I can knock at your door and give you vegetables and fruits. Won't you have love for me? Because everyone loves the muhsin, the one who does favor on you. Imagine, I think, subhanAllah. The Quran, that's why it says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In your own bodies, don't you look and reflect? How much would you pay for this eyesight? There's this one imam in the olden times, somebody came to complain to him about some problem with his body. He said, would you give 200,000 dirham if someone took your eyesight to get it back? He was complaining about poverty. He said, would you give 200,000 or something like that, dirham or dinar, for the sight that you haven't got? If someone takes it, would you pay? He said, yes, of course. Would you pay 200,000 dirham or 100,000 dirham dinar for the ear? What about tongue? He made him count all the organs of his body. 100,000 dirham, 100,000 dirham, 100,000 dirham. At the end of it, he said, you own billions. You're complaining about poverty, you own billions. One eyesight, imagine, goes. Sometimes I've told people, I don't know if you've tried this, try it. Try to spend 10 minutes like this. Don't do it all the time, but every few weeks, seriously, spend 10 minutes trying to do your normal work. Think how it feels to be blind. Just walk, I haven't tried it whilst I'm talking, but let me give a talk, you know, with the eyes closed. There was a sheikh in Pakistan, he passed away, his name was Qadi Hanif Multan Rahimullah, he used to come to England quite a bit. He was blind. He used to give talks whilst being blind. You might see some of his videos on YouTube. He used to come quite a lot, he came to my house many times, my father's house, and he's eating and he's talking, amazing, but he's blind. Just try spending 15 minutes every week. Try to do your normal, not just sit there, but try. And just think, imagine, okay, phone, there's water. SubhanAllah, just imagine if we didn't have sight. These things we need to, brothers, think about. And realizing the importance of the next life over this life. Okay? So that was just some additional points. Because I've got another session, so I'm going to leave. I think we'll stop there. Some additional points. There's only these two pages, 46 and 47. Inshallah, we can take that in the session after Asr. Yes, inshallah, so we'll do it then, inshallah. May Allah grant us tawfiq to the dhikr of the tongue as well as dhikr of the mind and the heart. Dhikr and fiqh.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
As the brother mentioned, that this will be an inshallah short session, not too long. About half an hour or so. To conclude some of the points that were discussed in the morning session, and there's much more that can be said, a lot more, and time is short. Keeping in mind what we talked about in the morning, dhikr and fiqh, if you remember, if most of you were in attendance, dhikr of means the dhikr verbally, dhikr lisani, and fiqr is the dhikr of the heart. We'll call it dhikr qalbi, or contemplation, or tafakkur. Both are important. If you look on page 46, some additional points. That's where we have these two pages. Although the optimal level is to make dhikr with the tongue and the heart, there is still benefit even if the heart is not focused. Some people actually say this, that look, what's the benefit? What's the fa'ida? What's the benefit in making dhikr if your heart is not focused? Like, why are you saying Allah, 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 and you're thinking about the dunya? There's no point. Some people actually, this is what they say, that you make dhikr of Allah, your mind is not focused, your heart is not focused, there's no benefit. You really need to, it needs to be with the, it has to be with the focus, of course, but So they stopped doing dhikr. They say dhikr with the tongue is like it's useless or worthless or not beneficial at all in any way, shape or form. This is a wrong understanding. Okay? Yes, indeed, dhikr of the tongue is only a means to the greater dhikr, the ultimate level, the optimal level, which is being focused and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But is it less that at least one organ of the body is making dhikr of Allah? Okay, the heart is not making dhikr. At least the tongue is, rather than the tongue talking about haram things and unlawful things and ghibah and backbiting and swearing and slandering, or just staying silent, which is also good, it's mentioning the name of Allah. So in itself, it's beneficial. And one will eventually reach the required level. This is a means. Like if somebody keeps on making dhikr with the tongue, then eventually a time will come, inshallah, when the heart is focused, the mind is focused. And that is the ultimate level. We need to try, even in salah, like we've just offered right now, asr salah. Sometimes we don't get the benefit of salah. Why? Because we are not focused. Salah has to be with khushu' and khudur. Khushu' means concentration. You should actually, you know, really understand the deeper meaning of salah. Why we offer salah? Every part of salah, what is the intention? What is where the mind has to be? That's when you get the, you know, there was a course a few years ago in Manchester that some organization and arranged, and I also taught it with a few other people. The whole salah from beginning till end, when we start, why we're standing this way, why we're raising our hands, whichever way we're raising, there's different ways of raising the hands, and that's not, you know, we debate about those issues. There's the inner dimension of salah. When we say Allahu Akbar, what are we supposed to be thinking at that time? One salah you pray like that, it changes your life. Allahu Akbar. Then we say Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. What's the meaning? What's the purpose? What do you think when you read that? Or another dua, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifan wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. There's two things to read. Then Surah Al-Fatiha, the deeper meanings of Fatiha, the deeper meanings of the Surah. Every Muslim should know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. We don't take time out to, you know, read the whole, everything. Surah Al-Fatiha we recite so many times in a day. Every Muslim man, woman should know the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha and the basic surahs of the Quran. Arab or non-Arab. Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. Why am I saying that? What does it mean? In ruku'a. Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. With the thought, with the focus, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah hears the one who praises him. Oh Allah, you hear? Okay. Rabbana lakal hamd. For you is all the praise. Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Oh Allah, for you is all the praise. Thought. Then in sujood, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. All the way to the end. I don't want to get off topic because time is short. To At-Tahiyyat. What does At-Tahiyyat mean? At-Tahiyyat belongs to Allah. Al-Salawat belongs to Allah. Al-Tayyibat belongs to Allah. As-Salamu Alaika Ayyuhal Nabi wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Why we say that? Why we sending salawat on the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Then the dua at the end. Could be any dua. It doesn't have to be any one specific one. You could say Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasana or Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina Wa Dhurriyatina. It's and then the adhkar after salah. After salah is so important, adhkar. You know, the adhkar after ba'd al-salawat al-maktuba, the prescribed adhkar, are extremely important. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. What intention we make? Who are we saying salam to? Met somebody, brother, as-salam, bro, as-salam. No. Why are we saying as-salamu alaykum, not ka, why kum? Who are all these people we're making salam to? What's the intention? I'm not giving the answers. The answers we need to learn. And then we need to make that intention when we pray salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then straight away, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Yes? Why? What did you just do? Did you rob somebody? You just prayed salah. Why are you saying astaghfirullah for? Why? There's a deeper meaning behind this. Why we say astaghfirullah, thalatha marrat, three times. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dal jalal wal ikram. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'ti lima man'at, wa la yanfa'u dal jaddi minka al jadd. All these are established adhkar. We need to, and every person should read themselves. Sadly, in some communities, what happens is like we have this, you know, a robotic way of offering salah and a robotic way of making dua after salah. It's like, Allahumma Ameen. Gone. After salah, each person needs to make dua themselves with their own tongue, the dhikr, it's adhkar after salah, with the thought, with the intention. So dhikr has to, you know, I was saying that it's still beneficial without the focus, but it's, we need to get to the meaning, to the ultimate level of everything we do with the thought from salah. Salah is a dhikr. Okay, so let me quickly move on. Although dhikr of the tongue is a means to the dhikr of the heart, one should never abandon the former, since it led one to the latter. Now, sometimes you think, okay, you know what? Dhikr of the tongue was a means to a level which was that I was focused on Allah. Now, once I'm focused on Allah, I don't need to make dhikr with my tongue. That's also wrong. It was the means. You still stick, you know, you don't forget. You're not, you know, this is being disloyal. The dhikr with the tongue, Allah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, led a person to be fully focused on Allah, now connected to Allah. That doesn't mean that now we don't need the dhikr. No, we should still be verbally making dhikr. Verbal dhikr is also important. Both are important. Okay, both. Dhikr can be done silently and audibly, loudly. There's evidences for both. Although silent dhikr is more virtuous. This is agreed upon. Silent dua, dhikr. The more silent, the more in isolation, the better. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Remember your Lord in your heart with humility and awe. Waduna al-jahri min al-qawl. The Quran tells, without uttering loudly. It is permissible. There are some hadiths that indicate that loudly as well. And also, like in group, it's permissible, permitted. But preferable is to be silent, slowly, in isolation. This is the real spirit of Sharia. Khalwa, you and Allah, nobody else. You know, this is why some of the scholars said that, like in Ramadan and places like that, in times of Ramadan and, you know, Laylatul Qadr, nobody knows exactly when it is, but like last 10 nights of Ramadan, etc., it's not a time to sort of gather and have big gatherings in the masjid for 2-hour lectures and whatever. It's really to focus on yourself and in isolation with Allah. Maybe in the masjid have a 20-minute reminder, then go home and until Fajr Salah, worship Allah. Or in the masjid, worship Allah. It's you and Allah. So, it can be done loudly, but silently it's better. Now what happens is sometimes, you know, some people they do different types of dhikr. How much time do we have? You know, people do different types of dhikr, etc. Loudly, audibly, different ways, different methods. People ask this question, that's why I'll just mention it, because it's important to know. Different groups have different ways and different methods of doing dhikr. Now you get two extremes about this. One extreme is that some people just totally, categorically, absolutely reject it and say everything is absolute bid'ah, innovation, like all, you know, just completely everything's innovation. And there's another extreme where people put too much focus and attention on this. Like what I mean, different methods. The Quran says, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ Stand and do dhikr, sit and do dhikr, lying down and do dhikr. Do it in whatever way form. Now what happened is that in some communities or some scholars or some groups or some orders or whatever you want to call them, they prescribe a particular way of doing dhikr. Listen to this carefully. Only for the purpose of concentration. Okay? Only for the purpose of concentration. So like for example, someone's doing dhikr silently in the masjid here or in this room, and the guy's getting distracted. Every time, I'm trying for 1 year, when I start doing dhikr, I start thinking about football, Liverpool, Manchester United. Or I start thinking about business. Or I start thinking about something. I can't. So just to get focus, you know, sometimes you do, like you study together, there's more focus rather than individually. So get a few people together and maybe move a bit as well. Now this is not from the sunnah, it's not established. If anyone starts thinking this to be sunnah or established, then that becomes bid'ah and innovation, it's wrong. But the moving or the swaying, etc., it's just for focus. So basically, it's like, you know, some people, they go like this, la ilaha illallah, they're thinking like everything besides Allah, I'm throwing away only Allah in my heart, like Allah, Allah, Allah. No, that, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? No, he didn't do that. If someone thinks that, that's sunnah, that's bid'ah. But to also say that it's always bid'ah, that's also going extreme, because it's not really you're doing it because of sunnah, it's just for what? Focus. Like if somebody says, you know, if somebody start doing this, it's like Allah, 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 Allah. Exactly the same. It's like, you know, when someone memorizes the Quran, ya ayyuhalladhina, ya ayyuhalladhina, like, you know, someone tells you, for you to get focused, you walk and read. Someone says, I need focus, okay, I'm sleeping, like, you know, once I was driving a car and I hadn't slept for 2 nights, and I was driving a car and I was reading, you know, like, I shouldn't have, but it was an emergency. And so I said, well, how am I going to do it? Like, I had a coffee, I put the window down, still feeling sleepy. So I just kept moving my head like this, right and left, so I don't drop off. It was about 20 miles. Just this way, just to make sure that if I'm just driving like this, I'm going to go like that. So it's just to get focus. Different ways that people do. It's not bid'ah in of themselves, but the problem, the other extreme, is that, you know, these things, when you don't keep them in limit, there comes a time when people subconsciously or consciously start believing that this is the sunnah. Now, a group might say, our way of doing dhikr, which is like this, is better, or you think it to be more important, or you think maybe it is sunnah. And that's where the extreme that leads people to bid'ah. Therefore, especially in these times, many of my teachers mentioned that just do simple, straightforward dhikr, like silently, there's no need to go into all these different ways. Unless you want a bit of focus, then do whatever, go, you know, walk on the grass and do it if you want to. Just whatever you feel you're going to get concentration. Whichever way. Someone says, I'm going in the grass and doing dhikr. Is it bid'ah? Brother, bid'ah. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me a hadith that you went on the grass and did dhikr. Do you need a hadith for that? You don't need a hadith, because you're not saying that doing dhikr on the grass is sunnah. You're saying dhikr is sunnah, but not the grass part. That's just for myself. Do you understand the point? So this is, I could explain this in more detail, but I'll just leave it to that. So they are not sunnah in of themselves, or more virtuous, and they are not the objective. The objective is connection with Allah. Whatever way you get that objective of being connected to Allah, what the objective is concentration, focus of heart and mind. Whichever way a person receives that, then that is best for him, inshallah. So these are different, you know, types of dhikr. Dhikr, as I said, dhikr lisani, dhikr of the tongue is very important. You know, like the hadith, the last hadith of Sahih of Bukhari. كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ فَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى الْلِسَانِ فَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Amazing two statements. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. This is also the dhikr of the tongue, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two statements. If you say them verbally, so it should be said verbally. Now, some important forms of dhikr, and finally I'm going to conclude with this. If you look here, the greatest form of dhikr, the greatest form of dhikr is recitation of the Qur'an. Tilawat al-Qur'an. There is no better dhikr than recitation of the Qur'an. It's the highest form of dhikr. If we do not have, brothers and just brothers, sorry, I have a habit of saying brothers and sisters, because most programs, you know, brothers and sisters, if we do not have a habit of, or we don't have in our daily schedule the recitation of the Quran, brothers, then it is extremely sad. No believer's day should begin without reciting the Quran. It is not possible for a believer. This is the book of Allah, Quran. We have time, we've read every website. GoogleSharif.com, Hafidhahullah, eBay, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and all, everything, like every magazine, we have time to read everything. The book of Allah that Allah has given us, this is not kalam of makhluk, this is the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. We can't take out 10 minutes. Nobody's saying every day 5 hours. If you do, alhamdulillah. At least 15 to 20 minutes a day. Our day should not start without recitation of the Quran after Fajr Salah. After Fajr Salah, we offer with khushu' and khudu', and then we make our adhkar sabah, the adhkar of the morning, and then we should, without doubt, recite the Quran. See the change in your life. Especially morning time. Morning time, we need to wake up early. Sleep early, wake up early. In the Quran, al-fajri kana mashhuda. The Quran recited around the time of Fajr. In Fajr Salah and around the time of Fajr is attended by the angels. It's this very peaceful moment. You know, when it's not still day and not night. The transition between night and day. It's like, you know, Fajr al-Sadiq has taken place and it's slightly light. Birds are making the tasbih of Allah. That time spent, half an hour, you'll see your whole day will move smoothly. Fajr Salah, morning, and there's barakah, this hadith, Allahumma barik, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma barik fi bukuri ummati. Oh Allah, give barakah in the morning time of my ummah. Even working in the morning time, there's barakah, blessings. Risk, there's barakah as well in the morning. So we should have a timetable, Quran recitation. And then I would also add with this, that Quran recitation should be with a bit of meaning. Again, look, all of what we're discussing today, there's verbal and there's the heart focus concentration. Quran, really the real, look, without meaning is also beneficial. There's hadiths, you read, recite one word, one kalima, you know, you get 10 rewards. So alhamdulillah, it's kalam of Allah, you receive reward. But real benefit, brothers, is if we recite the book of Allah with concentration and meaning. Meaning is not for only for scholars. I don't know who came up with this idea that, you know, if you try to look at the meanings, your hands will burn. You can't touch the translation of the Quran. This is a wrong understanding. Yes, the deeper meanings, the commentary, the complex fiqh, ahkam, ayatul ahkam, you know, the deeper ijtihadi issues, fiqh issues, detailed interpretations. Yes, that's for the mujtahidun and the mufassirun and the scholars. But the Quran is for every person. I remember once I was traveling in a train, I was coming from London, I was going back home, I had a university lecture, and this Christian, I think, a priest or somebody guy, he was sitting next to me. We start talking anyways about different things, and he was asking me what your lecture was about, etc. But anyway, he said to me, can you tell me one thing? I said, yeah, go ahead. He said, I don't understand one thing about Muslims. I said, what's that? He said, if anyone in my faith is a Christian or a Catholic, anyone who's so-called, like, goes to the church and practices, then they've read the Bible and they read the Bible, they all understand the Bible. The Bible's in English. Even if they're not, if they're not English, then they will read the Bible in their own language and they'll understand. But I come across like 90% of Muslims who don't have a clue what the God is telling them. 90% of Muslims, they don't know like anything what God is speaking to us. Like, we don't really know what is this. It's just quick 20 rakah, brother, how fast? Quick, read fast. And then this is what Quran is for. Quran is for with meaning. Take a small commentary. That's why this commentary is written. There's one Ma'arif of Quran, which is in English. It was written for the general public, for them to understand the basic meanings. We need to understand the basic meanings, at least the last few surahs. With concentration, we recite the book of Allah. Understand the meaning. You will see the difference in your life. So Quranic recitation is a very high form of dhikr. Number two, adhkar of the morning and evening prescribed in the sunnah. Lots of adhkar. Again, morning and evening. Find out from the established books, which these are all authentic things that we need to read. We don't need to go beyond. We don't have enough time to read, you know, the things which are established. Allahumma bika amsayna wa bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut. There's a few established ones for the morning and for the evening. Like, pick a few. Don't, if you can, alhamdulillah, but if you try to do too much, then you don't remain steadfast. Pick a few, whatever you can, like fix yourself a time. Half an hour every day I'm going to spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning. After Fajr Salah, 15 minutes Quranic recitation, 5 minutes istighfar maybe, which is number 3, and 10 minutes adhkar, etc. Half an hour and you finish everything. This is like your morning breakfast. One of the chefs used to say, you know, some of his students came and said to him, did you have breakfast? Because, yeah, so what did you have? He said, we told him, you know, bread and whatever. He said, I'm not talking about that spiritual breakfast. Dhikr is your energy. Dhikr means Quran recitation, adhkar in the morning. It's our energy. It's the spiritual breakfast that gives us control for the rest of the day over the evils of the shaytan, of the nafs, the soul, wa nafsin wa ma sawaha. It gives us control over our desires. And we are not even, you know, it helps us avoid sins, spiritual energy. So istighfar, I mean, each of these require lengthy discussions. Number three, istighfar is very important. Astaghfirullah min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayhi. Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, wallahi inni la astaghfirullah fil yawmi sab'ina marra. By Allah, I seek forgiveness from Allah in a day 70 times. Who's saying this? The one whom Allah said, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah has forgiven all your sins. And he's saying, I am making istighfar 70 times in a day. Imagine. So istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. You can say it in English, but it's better to say in Arabic, astaghfirullah, 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 min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma inni astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. There's one Sayyidul Istighfar in established books of Sunnah. So, try to read that. And number four, salawat on Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also a form of dhikr, any form of salawat. يا أيها الذين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا is a command. Oh, you believe, صلوا, send salawat عليه وسلموا and salam وتسليم صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. So that's an obligation. So that's also part of our, maybe another 5 minutes for that as well in the morning, part of that half an hour. Salawat on the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Any way, the best is the one we recite in salah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. If that's too long, صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد. That's it. Anything will suffice. And lastly, this is a topic on its own, brothers. And I don't have too much time because we need to finish in like 5 to 10 minutes, maximum 10 minutes. Prescribed prophetic supplications. This is so important. You know, I could do like a 3-hour talk just on this point. Right? This is a lengthy discussion. What do I mean by prescribed prophetic supplications? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through the medium of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us how to make dua. How to make dua. These are ad'iya ma'thura. These are established, authentic, established prophetic duas, supplications. You know, waking up dua, sleeping dua, entering the toilet dua. At every moment, you know, some of the scholars say that these duas are so unique. They are actually, these supplications are a miracle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, these duas, each one of them, actually I was telling some brothers somewhere that we should do a course. Each dua requires a half an hour explanation. Each dua, one of my teachers once mentioned that these duas are the miracle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because each word has so much deep meaning in them. Deep meaning, again, with focus. Not just lip service. No. Why are we reading it? With the meaning, it's unique. And these are, this is one of the, it's a sign of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the true prophet of Allah. Because it's not possible for anyone to say those words except that it's from Allah. It's so deep, it's unique. These are the miracles, these du'as. And because we are so busy in life, these du'as have been prescribed for every moment, like new moment in life. Wake up, it's a change. Going to the toilet, it's a change. Coming out of the toilet, change. Going to the masjid, change. Wudu, change. Entering the house, it's a change in life. Exiting the house, it's a change. Traveling, sitting in the car, returning home, sleeping. At every moment, again, this is in order to keep our connection with Allah, be connected with Him all the time. Every dua. We wake up in the morning, الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. It's an established dua. Why do we say that? Because we were dead at night. But the Quran says, Allah يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. Allah takes the soul away at night. And for some people he releases the soul, for some people he doesn't release, like we die, we don't wake up in the morning. Actually there are 50% chance of not waking up in the morning, even medically. So the soul is taken away. Alhamdulillah. With the thought, think, all praise to Allah, Ahyana, who gave us life again, Ba'da ma amatana, after he made us, he took life away, after he took life away from us. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Well, today he's given us the soul back, but there will be a time that he won't come back, the soul. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Then the first thing we do, we go into the bathroom. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the male impure shaitan and the female impure shaitan. Why? There's deep meanings. I'm just summarizing. Like I can, as I said, half an hour on each dua. Why are you seeking the protection? Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith that these places, these washrooms and toilets are where in هذه الحشوش محتضرة. Because impure, like the shayateen, they like to stay in impure places. So seek the protection of Allah. In the Sunan of Abi Dawud, in the Sahih al-Bukhari, the dua is there. So, because these impure shayateen, they could harm you physically or spiritually, or Islamically, they could make you do something wrong, your aura is exposed, your nakedness is exposed, najasa, etc. So we just seek the protection of Allah from all male and female. Khubuth wal khabath. Then you come out. Ghufrana. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Why? Did you rob somebody? Why are you seeking forgiveness right now? Well, because we're seeking forgiveness from Allah, because oh Allah, this is a great ni'mah of yours, and I'm not able to thank you because this, and then after that, ghufranak, alhamdulillah, alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. All praise to Allah who removed the dirt from my stomach and gave me afiyah. This actually dua, you can talk about it in 1 hour, because it's talking about the amazing machinery that Allah has created in every human being's stomach. Because when we eat, we don't think. We eat for our taste. We eat anything, rice and sweets and dishes and whatever. All the food goes into our body. There's an automatic, we go to sleep at night, sleeping. What's happening? Allah's machine is working. That machine, there's different aspects. There's the liver aspect, that aspect, different aspects. From that food, some amount of it is making blood. Some part of that food energy is being created to make the bone solid. Some for the skin, some for the meat. The residue, because some part of food is not good for us, it's unhealthy. The unhealthy dirt is like a syringe, it's being put away to the side. In the morning you go, the machine is ready, done its work. We are just sleeping, Allah did all the work. You go inside the toilet and release that residue. This is the meaning of أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَعَافَانِ. There's actually another dua that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الحمد لله الذي أذاقني لذته وأبقى في قوته. All thanks to Allah who gave me the taste of the food. وأذاقني لذته وأبقى في قوته. And the power and strength he kept it within my body. And the last part, does anybody know this dua, the other one? أذاقني لذته وأبقى في قوته. Yeah, وأذهب عني أذاه. And the harmful aspects of the food, he removed it away from me. With this thought, you make the dua. Even teach your children. Teach your children, with the meanings. I have a 6-year-old son. I've been teaching him du'as since he's been 4. But I make him, like, whatever translation. When he goes in the toilet, so okay, stand. Says, okay, wait. Okay. He makes, and he reads. He has to put the left foot in first. He'll say, okay, Allah, I'm going inside the toilet, please. There's so many men and women, male and female, shaitan, the bad ones, and the really filthy bad ones and the harmful ones. Please protect me. I don't want to get hurt in the toilet. He read Arabic and then he read this. Then when he comes out, I say, okay, read the dua. I say, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. Oh Allah, thank you that all my tummy is now clean. Otherwise, I'd become very, very ill. And thank you for taking all the dirty things away from my stomach. Let them do it in their translation. The meaning has to be in the head for full benefit of all these du'as. And then wudu time. You know the wudu, the hadith says when you wash your organ, all the impurities, sagair, sins are being washed. Believe it, look at it. Wash your hands once you do wudu. Alhamdulillah, all the sins are being washed. And you make the niyyah beforehand, say bismillah. Why do we say bismillah? You need a whole hour on just on bismillah. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after wudu, he would recite, Allahumma aj'alni min al-tawwabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahirin. These are all forms of dhikr. Why are we making this dua at this time? There's a meaning behind that as well. Min al-tawwabin, mutatahirin. Oh Allah, become physically pure, but make me spiritually pure. Min al-mutatahirin. And then carries on, even night sleeping. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma bi-ismika amutu wa ahya. Allahumma qini adabaka yawma tub'ath ibadat. Sit in the car traveling. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana. Oh Allah, all praises to you, for you Allah. Sakhara lana hada. This car was not in anyone's or our control. This plane, this car, this, Ferrari or this helicopter or this, whatever car you... وَمَا كُنْدَ لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. This is, you have subjugated this. Again, I mentioned my son, when he used to this when he was 4 years old, he sits in the car, he says, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana nisan. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُقْرِبُونَ. He chose that himself because هَذَا means, oh Allah, you put this, whatever this is, if it's a car, if it's a plane, you put this under control. So when I told him the meaning, he said, can I just change the هَذَا to nisan? I said, go and change it. Of course, you're not supposed to when he grows up, but the prophetic words. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hada wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And then before going to sleep, there's so many, we must take time out. Find this is prophetic du'as, all established from Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, from the authentic books of Sunnah, prescribed ones. Just that is so much that we can't go anywhere else. We must make it. There's books that are written. There's lots of books where authentic, prophetic du'as, ad'iyah, supplications, with their meanings, teach your own selves, teach your children, and make a firm habit. At every junction of life, every moment of life, you come back home from journey, أَيْبُونَ تَأْيِبُونَ حَامِدُونَ أَيْبُونَ تَأْيِبُونَ عَابِدُونَ لِرَبِّنَا حَامِدُونَ. And there's so many, before eating, اللهم بسم الله وعلى بركة الله. If you forget, بسم الله في أوله وآخره. And then if, at the end, الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا. There's some other narrations, وآوانا وجعلنا من المسلمين. Why are you saying this right now with the meaning وجعلنا من المسلمين? Why? There's a meaning behind that as well. And if you eat at somebody's house, اللهم أطعم من أطعمني واسقي من سقاني أكل طعامكم الأبرار وأفطر عندكم الصائمون وصلت عليكم الملائكة. You say, may the angels, send blessings on you and may the pious people eat your food, etc., etc. They say, وصلت عليكم الملائكة. Some people make a joke. They said, وصلت عليكم الملائكة إلا جبرائيل. All the angels send blessings on you except جبرائيل. حتى يأتي الشاعر. حتى يأتي الشاعر. Until the tea comes. Then جبرائيل will also send the blessings on you. That was a joke, by the way. Nobody laughed. But anyway, subhanAllah, time is up. But this prescribed prophetic supplications are very, very important. These are, du'as which are dhikr as well. We should make a habit of asking Allah. And then further than that as well, it's like we should just have a habit of talking to Allah whenever. Some of my teachers used to say, talk to Allah, make a habit of talking, conversing with Allah. Talk about what your needs, your aspirations, your worries, your concerns. Just sit one day. You don't have to just raise your hands and orders. You don't just turn to Allah and salah. Just one day sit with Allah and talk to Allah. Converse with Allah. And know and realize Allah is hearing you. Have a chat with Allah. We spend so much time on this, chatting on, actually yesterday I was thinking about this, that, the more time, if we're spending more time on this, than we're spending besides that, there's something wrong in our life. It's so much time on social media and texting. And it's just our whole life is consumed with connections. That's why, it's actually recommended to have less connections with people. قِلَّةُ الطَّعَامُ قِلَّةُ الْكَلَامُ قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطُ عَلَىٰ أَنَامُ قِلَّةُ الْمَنَامُ. Less connections, less conversation. try to keep a bit private. Family is very important. We have connections with everybody and less with family. Family is important. Spend some time, quality time with your children. This is very important in life. And try to reduce our interaction with social media, with WhatsApp and Twitter and Facebook. Just use it briefly. Especially WhatsApp, I feel it's like you be part of groups and you don't want to be in groups and the whole world puts you in groups and, you know, 100 messages and this. But Alhamdulillah, I'm still not on WhatsApp. I don't think I ever will be. But this, seriously, we get consumed by all of this. So I'm not saying it's haram, it's good, there's beneficial things as well, so don't take it out of context. But the point is that we just need to try to spend some time for ourselves and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to get, have this deep understanding of this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and to act upon it, inshallah, and may He allow us to have khushu and khudu and concentration. And end with this,